Hello, and welcome Transformation Talk Radio listeners and podcast listeners everywhere. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx.
She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice, a straight talk is nice. She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you wanna listen twice. Make decisions, find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay if you need help today, cause everybody needs a little push. From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
This weekly show, Everybody Needs a Little Push, with Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx, will be aired every Wednesdays on Transformation Talk Radio and podcast stations everywhere at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. I am delighted to bring you my weekly podcast program, which I hope will inspire you, coach you, sometimes make you laugh, and give you the push moment you need to move forward. Today's show, we will combine two extremely important topics that I know many of you are experiencing right now. First, we will talk about the adult child that may still be living in your home. And the second half of this show, we'll talk about how the adult child just may be holding you hostage in your own home. Do you have an adult child, 21 years of age or older, that is still living at home? Are you paying for their food, clothing, and shelter? How do you feel about them still living at home? How do you think they feel about being there? Is society's view of living at home much different than it was in generations past? Maybe this episode will give you the push moments you need to start thinking differently about this topic. I can't wait to start talking about this topic, which I am extremely passionate about, and I just want to let all our listeners know that there's quite a bit of construction going on outside our offices, and there may be some unexpected noises through the broadcast that we will try very much to silence as we go forward. We apologize for any unforeseen background noises in this podcast. Here we go. I do not think that there is any better way to discuss this topic than to have someone here that is actually in the middle of this very situation. And I'm sitting here with my co-producer, Richard Torres, and as it turns out, he's an adult child living at home.
I am.
Did you ever take some time and live out on your own?
I've never lived under my own roof.
And you have an older brother.
I do have an older brother.
And he was living at home for a while, too.
That is correct, until he got his own home.
How long ago did he get his own home?
He said about a year ago.
So, as adult children living at home, what's your responsibility in the family? What contributions do you have to make?
Well, at this point, I handle all of my own personal bills. So, of course, my car payment, my cell phone, anything that I use personally is all my responsibility. Gained a little bit more responsibility because I'm a recent graduate. I was in college up until this past May.
So you were living at home basically to finish school?
Exactly.
Okay.
So I get some responsibility. Sometimes I'll handle the groceries or...
What do you mean handle the groceries? Actually physically go shopping for them or pay for them?
I'll shop for it, pay for it.
You'll shop for it and pay for it for the family?
Yeah. I've had to handle some of the car insurance, but mostly I am pretty much being helped out by my parents at this point.
Okay, so when you say that, I need you to tell me what that means your parents are helping you. They're providing a roof over your head.
That is correct.
They are paying for your food.
Yes.
Who does your laundry?
I do my own laundry.
Okay, so who pays for your car insurance?
That is under my parents' regime.
It sounds like a regime. So it's your parents' car insurance and you're listed under that insurance.
That is correct.
And what happens if you want to buy something to wear?
I have to buy it.
You have to buy it on your own.
Yeah, and that's been the case for a while, too, since I was a teenager, I'd say.
Okay, so they pay for...
Except for birthdays and Christmas.
Right, I understand. So, of course, if you have a computer in the house, they're paying for your Wi-Fi, they're paying for your cable, right? That's under the family.
Correct.
If there's a landline, they're paying for that. You're paying for your own cell phone.
That is correct.
You have a car that you make payments on?
Yes.
And that's your responsibility.
Yep. From beginning to end, the down payment, all of that, that's all me.
Do you pay any rent contribution to the family?
No.
And mom and dad have not asked for a rent contribution?
They haven't. My mother has not, to be specific.
Your father has?
He has never said, but he certainly nudged at, like, well, you live here, so you should help out. But it's also, well, I just finished school, didn't have a job.
Okay, so you're in kind of that limbo period of I've just graduated and I haven't had a chance yet to get back on my feet.
Exactly.
And to get out into the world.
When you're a first year, second year graduate, it seems like nobody will hire you. You just don't have enough experience.
So you're busy looking for work.
Right.
And at this point in time, you're doing lots of part-time things to earn an income to survive.
Exactly.
Okay, and that's fine. Are your parents pressuring you to move out?
No, they haven't. My mother is very supportive. She's always wanted to help myself and my brother out whenever we were going through school, anything like that. Dad, on the other hand, well, I can almost joke around. I feel like he's been wanting to kick us out since we were like 12.
Okay. But, all right. Well, do you find that's what happens sometimes in terms of the role that parents play, that dads are more get up and get out there and moms are more protective?
From one standpoint, I could say yes, maybe the cliche, but I've met a ton of people where I'll say instead of mom or dad, let's say the more dominant authoritarian parent, let's say, who they feel a lot more territorial. They feel like maybe, I don't want to say you owe them more, and that's not the word, but they're kind of like, well, you know, I paid my dues. And then my father's a little, you know, I know he's a couple generations away from me, so he comes from a time where he had to help out. You know, it's not like it was then and now. He didn't go to school. He just stayed and worked and paid for his living.
So he was constantly helping out in the family.
Yeah, he pretty much had to, though.
How old were your parents when they left their home?
Not to get heavy, my dad was pretty much orphaned after 15. When he came here to the United States when he was 5 years old from Cuba, and unfortunately he never saw his mother again. And his father was a little older, he was sick, he passed away when my dad was probably about 15, 16 years
old. So your dad was on his own?
He was going from house to house under siblings.
That's a difficult situation.
Siblings, homes, and his
older
siblings.
But he was absolutely self-sufficient at an early age.
Yeah.
Which is why he expects you to be.
Exactly.
And I understand that.
Exactly.
What about your mother?
Mom was pretty much like the situation I'm in. She stayed with her parents until she got married.
And how old was that, approximately?
She was 24, something like that.
Okay, so respectable. Certainly older.
Yeah.
Okay,
older than I am now.
Yeah, and you are how old?
22.
22. Okay, 22, recently graduated, working as a collaborative writer in a part-time situation for me and for freelance for other people.
Yeah, online.
Trying to make your way, which is respectable.
Thank you.
Taking on responsibility so that you're paying your way for a good portion of your individual expenses.
Yeah.
Certainly... looking to have a plan to not stay at home forever.
Oh, yeah.
You do have a feeling that this is short-lived.
Yes, I do. It's not so much... It's pretty much a matter of time. It's just when I'll get situated, when I get my job, and when I can make a sustainable enough income for myself to just take care of myself.
All right, so there is a plan to leave the nest.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a lot of friends your age that are living at home?
Most people I know, 9 out of 10 people are still at home.
And are they comfortable with that situation?
No. Some people have different relationships with their parents. I'll say that my relationship with my parents, more so my father, I think it's obvious, has been a little more rocky. But I think it depends. There's people who are very similar to me where they have that parent that's kind of territorial, wants them to go out there more, kind of...
So they have at least one of the parents pressuring them to leave the nest.
Sure, yeah. It's not all of them. A lot of them, like I said, on the flip side, they have parents that are very supportive and just let them stay at home.
Do you find that there are lots of parents that say, don't worry about it, stay home as long as you like?
My female friends do seem to have that kind of...
Ah, so it's more of a female thing where the little girl or the gal can stay at home as long as she likes and be protected and taken care of.
Precisely.
And the guy has to get out there and get their act together.
Nothing's changed, huh?
It's very stereotypical.
Exactly. Everyone's had different parents, you know. Some parents, they pay for everything. Some parents don't pay a thing. And some parents pay for half the stuff, you know. Pretty much I've seen a little bit of run the gamut. All my friends live like that.
The friends of yours that don't have any financial responsibility, that parents take care of everything, how are they different from the kids that live at home and have different financial responsibilities?
Yes, there is a different personality about them. I don't know if it's on purpose, but there's definitely like a nonchalant attitude that comes about them when we go out.
What does it mean?
So, for example, if I go out with a group of friends and let's say my first friend whom pays for their bills is not as... they're not as lenient with their money. They might be opposed to going out more.
They're more conservative.
More conservative. More frugal. Exactly. More frugal. Where the kids, my friends, whomever, not necessarily kids, who have their parents handle everything, they're just like, oh, whatever, this is X amount of bucks, who cares?
They have no conception of money.
Exactly.
They have no sense of value as to what money means.
Yeah, they just look at it like, oh, this is only 40 bucks, that's not a lot, but 40
they
bucks.
They take it for granted.
Exactly.
So there's definitely a sense of irresponsibility.
Yeah.
A sense of really not understanding the value of money because parents are not giving them the ability to understand the value of money by
exactly.
doing everything for them, by giving them everything they need. I call this the disease of entitlement, and it's a very popular expression. They feel entitled to things and therefore don't give it the respect and the value that it's due. Do you find sometimes that young people that or adult children that stay home with their parents feel that they are entitled to do so? Did you turn around to mom and dad and say, can I stay here? Or did you automatically think that it was absolutely okay to still be living at home after college and at a certain age?
That's a great question. For me personally, it was a mix of both. I have always felt like I've had kind of like a time limit living home, frankly. Like, I've always felt like it was more of the, can I stay here?
Okay. Did mom and dad say, when you graduate, we expect you to leave? Did someone specifically say you have a time limit?
No one has ever said that. My mother has always been welcome to it. My dad never said it, but like I said earlier, it would always kind of nudge. I don't want you here forever, pretty much.
I understand. But still, when you graduated, you went to a local college, so you were able to come home every day after classes, which
right.
is extremely common. Mm-hmm. And at the end of graduation, you automatically thought it would be perfectly acceptable to live at home.
By the welcoming of my mother, yes.
Okay, so do you feel that your generation thinks that it is not only acceptable to still live at home with your parents, but that parents actually owe their children that much?
Yes, I have seen specific people feel like their parents owe it to them. I'll be frank and say I feel like sometimes my older brother would kind of act that way a little bit, where he certainly, it seemed like he was more comfortable to say like, well, you kind of owe me.
I have heard quite a few young adults who live at home say to me, it is my parents' responsibility to take care of me. They have raised me, I am their child, and as long as I am their child, they have an obligation to help me out.
Sure, yeah.
You see your friends thinking, I'm entitled to this.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that pisses me off.
That's
right. No, I think that's horrible. I really do. Because it was never like that for us. I mean, it was never like that. I mean, maybe on occasion, but first of all, I come from the generation where we couldn't wait to go out on our own. We couldn't wait to do that. And although I find with some young people that people do not want to stay home forever, all right, I still find a good majority of young people very content to be at home. And I find that really confusing because I would assume that when you go out on your own, there is a sense of freedom and responsibility that is certainly unparalleled to living at home. But the irony of it is, I believe that millennials, for the most part, feel that they are very entitled to be home and they deserve to be taken care of. And on top of which makes me even more angry, is that their parents feel the same way. Mm. Their parents feel that it's their obligation to take care of their children, well past the age that they should be able to take care of themselves.
So it's like enabling.
Yes, exactly. It's a codependence between the entitlement and the enabler.
Right.
Exactly. You feel entitled because you are mom and dad's child, so to speak. And mom and dad feel, well, you're my baby. I'm going to take care of you.
Right.
And that's a recipe for disaster.
And that's something that you feel like hasn't exactly existed that strongly before.
Yes, that's correct. I feel that as we go through generations, I feel that things have changed because I think the more we have as a society, the more we have. The more material things we have, the more we want to do more for our children, the less we teach them to do things for themselves.
I get that. And playing devil's advocate, we kind of spoke about this very briefly. Maybe the market is harder to find jobs, whether they go to school or not. Loans are a lot heavier these days, which is probably true. And having all that said...
And I understand that. Right. I understand that. However, kids today, or maybe this generation, feels that they have to start in a different place. When I went out, maybe jobs weren't as hard to come by, but it doesn't mean that I started a job making $100,000 a year. When you graduate college today, somebody wants to go out and make a decent living, and that decent living is vastly different from the decent living we made a while ago. So that even though you may not be able to get the job of your dreams initially, you may be able to get some kind of a job.
Right.
I think that because young adults feel that sense of entitlement, they don't want to start from square one. They want to start from square 10.
Right.
They want to say, well, I don't want to work at McDonald's, or I don't want to get a minimum wage job because I'm a college graduate and I should get out there and make $100,000 right away. And that's baloney. That's garbage.
Yeah, I've learned
you go
already.
Out. Exactly. It's not mm-hmm. going to happen. So you start with whatever you can get. And maybe you're not making $100,000, but maybe you're making $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000. And maybe you're going into a roommate situation, or maybe right. you're not finding that apartment of your dreams right away, but you're still getting out there.
Right.
You're still learning to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. You're still learning to pay rent and to pay bills and to understand the value of money.
Right.
And realize that there are no safety nets. Why should there be a safety net?
Yeah, that's true. You know, and thinking about it just from my perspective, I feel like, I don't know, maybe the way we've been raised since forever. It's not like we watch TV and they say, hey, the home of your dreams is this 2-bedroom apartment you got to share with somebody else and all that. You know, I feel like it's always been encouraged, like, get the big house, get the big job. Once you get that degree, I'm telling you, you're going to be so better far off than you ever
imagined. Is that the garbage that people are passing down, that still, once you get the college degree? I mean, today,
yeah,
with a college degree, you know, like they said, a college degree and a Metro pass will get you on the subway. I mean, that means nothing.
It doesn't.
A college degree means nothing.
Nope.
It's not about the college degree. I mean, for God's sakes, it's about the master's or it's about the PhD. It's
yeah.
always one step up.
And there is an increase. There is a lot more kids going back to school trying to get their master's these days. But I've thought about it as well. I'm considering going back to school.
Well, look, there is something always to be said for more education. And
right.
I certainly advocate more education, no matter what it is. But in today's world, with the entrepreneurships and the technical skills that people have and the ability to make more money than ever before, there are many different avenues for many different people. But the whole idea of being of a certain age and being out on your own and taking responsibility for yourself, I believe, has changed over the years. I really do. I think if you were raised in the 50s or the 60s or the 70s, you have a very different outlook than being raised in the 90s or as a millennial.
You see, even my cat Tigger gets loud about it.
Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today. So here I am talking about a topic that really gets me riled up. Adult children living at home. The first part of this podcast, I spoke with Richard Torres, who is a 22-year-old living at home. But from what he tells me, he does pay most of his expenses. So he is contributory. He does know something about taking care of himself. But if you're of legal age, and I consider that to be 21 years of age and older, and you are not fraught by any disability or any illness of any kind, and you are capable and healthy, you should be making definite plans not to be living at home. And that means that you have to sit down with your family and say that you're going to be here just for a certain amount of time. Any longer than that, and you will find that your situation will not be the best for you. There will be a tremendous amount of friction between you and your family. You will begin to feel stifled, and you will not be able to function well unless you decide that freedom and independence is something that you are going to strive for. It's about time that you got out into the world. Mom and Dad gave you all the tools you need to succeed. Yes, maybe it is a little tougher now than it was before, but it's not impossible. I see many people going out there, going to school, having jobs, working two or three jobs, living with roommates, going out into the world and taking care of themselves. And do know that good jobs do befall college students and high school students that continue onward and make the connections and do the networking and are able to get the kind of jobs out there that will allow them to move on. But to stay home just because you think your parents are supposed to take care of you and you are entitled and you think that because they raised you, they are obligated to care for you and pay for every single thing you do until you are ready to leave is absolutely abhorrent. There is no reason why parents should be putting up with that. For every single adult child that is living home with their parents, and your parents are paying in some manner, shape, or form for your existence, remember to be grateful. Remember to say thank you for doing what you certainly don't have to do any longer. And remember when the time comes that your parents are older, you remember this time and understand that it will be your turn to take care of them. This is such an important topic and affects so many of my clients that we're going to continue the conversation with something even more relevant to this topic, and that is your adult child actually holding you hostage in your own home? What do parents go through when they realize that they have enabled their child and absolutely taken care of them well beyond the age that's necessary? We talked about the fact that young adults come home from school and decide to live at home for one reason or another, most of the time because they need financial support, and parents provide them with that. Now we're going to continue the conversation and talk about how parents feel when adult children decide to live at home and be supported by their parents. What we call a true failure to launch syndrome. And does it go beyond that?
Are you actually being held hostage by your child?
This is a very common topic for generations, especially the boomer generation, who has many adult children living at home. I am hoping that after this podcast, the adult parents out there taking care of your children well past the age that they need it will have your push moment to start thinking differently about this topic. Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, my son is 32 years old. He's an only child. He's been living at home except for a few short months when he tried to live on his own but could not financially afford it. He doesn't really have a full-time job, so I am paying for all of his expenses, including food, clothing, and shelter, his car, his cell phone, and his car insurance. This is putting a drain on my own funds and a strain on my marriage. My husband is always on his case to move out, but I'm afraid that he won't be able to manage on his own. I feel helpless in my own home. Can you give us some help? Sally from Tulsa. Thanks for your email, Sally. This is such a common problem for most of my clients who have children that are in this millennial 18 to 34 age group. Let me explain to you some of the things that I found out in terms of the research surrounding this topic. For the first time in 130 years, more young adults are living with their parents than with their partners. Americans, especially ages 18 to 34, are more likely to live with their parents than in any other living situation. And this is according to a new analysis by the Pew Research Center. In this age group, 32.1% of people live in their parents' house, while 31.6% live with a spouse or a partner in their own homes, and 14% live alone. They either live as single parents or in a home with roommates or renters. The rest live with another family member, a non-family member, or in a group, in a living situation with a series of roommates or a college dorm. The Pew Research Center also says that more men are living at home in this 18 to 34 category than women. American men ages 18 to 34 live with their parents 35% of the time and with a spouse or partner 28% of the time. For women, the numbers are approximately reversed. 35% live with a partner, while 29% live with their parents. Unfortunately, the numbers seem to be about the same in Europe, with men between the ages of 18 to 34 living at home more with their parents than women. The reason behind this, according to the Pew Research Institute, obviously are financial reasons. And this has to do with what, of course, Pew calls the Great Recession. The rise in the number of young adults living at home did start before the economic crash, and so did the possibility of contributing factors. Male unemployment has been on the rise for decades. Pew Research says even those who have jobs are making less than they would have in their parents' day. For young men, Pew notes, inflation-adjusted wages have been falling since 1970. And the other reason is there are fewer and fewer young people married than in decades past. Even accounting for the increased popularity, there are just fewer paired-up 20-somethings and 30-somethings than there used to be, which translates into people are getting married later in life. Now, although that may be a plus for many, many reasons, until people get married, they are choosing to live at home. And that's what's happening with most of our males all around the world. So, your child is living at home, and the one thing I want to point out to you is it is not an abnormal situation. It is not relegated just to you. This seems to be the norm. However, it does not mean that this has to be the way it's going to be.
You and your husband must set boundaries with your child. You must say to him that there is going to be a limit on how long he's going to live here. And if he's going to live here, he has to make an active contribution to the household. That's the only way that you will not feel so drained. And both you and your husband will not be at odds. Sit down with your son and draw up a contract. If there are things that need to be done around the house, your son has to do it. Chores of every kind, the dishes, laundry, grocery shopping, whatever it is, if he cannot make a monetary contribution, he must make a physical one in terms of tasks that must be completed in order for him to have the privilege of living here. Even if you've done all these things in the past, it's time to turn these responsibilities over to your adult son. You must put it down on paper. A contract is something that everybody can see and will not be misinterpreted. Your son can't say to you, "But you didn't tell me that I had to do the dishes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday." It has to be written down specifically. Your adult child has to perform like an adult, and that means taking on adult responsibilities. If your adult is living in your house, you cannot treat him like a child. And that is the first mistake that my clients make around their children. They try to protect them from the adult world and not give them adult responsibility. Or some of my clients have enough financially and are secure where they don't want their child doing anything because they can afford to have him do nothing. That will only hurt your child, not help him. Even if you can afford to have someone do the housekeeping or take out the garbage or do the laundry, it still pays for your child to have that responsibility. So this is a good part of the process. Make sure you have a contract with a deadline date, telling your son that if he must get some employment, earn some income by such and such a date, contribute to the household with specific tasks that you outline in a contract, and maybe give him an assist in terms of helping him to find a job if he does not know how to do that. Asking him to get a resume together, telling him to look at a course that will help him find a job, asking him to show you that he has gone on certain interviews. You have to hold him accountable if he is in your house. The more you teach him accountability, the more he will want to leave your house and become a real adult. The more you hold him back by allowing him to do whatever he wants and take advantage of you, then this problem rests with you, not your son. You have allowed this to happen. And if you think you've allowed this to happen because you're afraid he's going to be out on his own and he's not going to be able to manage, then that's something that you and he have to go seek counseling about or a life coach. Because you're not loving him, you are acting out of fear. And even though you love him very much and you want to protect him, this is not protection. This is acting out of fear. And I see this with my clients all the time. You must let him be an adult. And being an adult means that there are successes in life and there are failures in life. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to be there for him if there is a failure. But unless you show him what failures look like, he's never going to want to be on his own. And he's never going to learn how to cope with life. You truly must let go in order to save your son and have him grow up. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you.
visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today.
Here's another email from one of my listeners. Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, my son is spending all of my money. He's 25, living at home, and has no concept of money. He doesn't work. He's still finishing school. And I don't expect him to work. But I am responsible for all of his expenses. He dates often, and I wind up paying for that as well. No matter what I say, he feels entitled to my money and always overspends. What do I do? Marilyn from San Jose. Dear Marilyn, thanks so much for your letter. I understand that your son is living at home and he's trying to finish school, and many parents out there feel that their children should concentrate strictly on school and not have time to work or be distracted by work. Well, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx thinks that's a load of crap. First of all, I am sure many of you out there remember that you got your working papers at 14 years old and always got out there and did some kind of a job. It never seemed to interfere with your schoolwork. And even though kids may not be working as early as 14 these days, having a real job, learning and understanding the value of money, working hard for something to actually earn it, is what separates responsible adults from children. And those things come from parents. Parents teach responsibility, accountability. And if you haven't taught those things to your son, these are the reasons why he feels this sense of entitlement. Your child feels that it is your duty to take care of him. That is your mission in life. He deserves to be taken care of by you. Well, let me tell you something. He's not entitled to this. This is not your mission. He does not deserve this sense of entitlement at this stage of his life. He's no longer a child. He's an adult. And as long as he is able to get out there and go to school, he's able to find some kind of a job. In terms of the money situation, your letter sounds like you feel powerless over this. Let me tell you something. You are not powerless over how much money he spends. I see so many of my clients look at me with that blank expression, that deer in the headlights expression that says, I don't know how this happened, and I don't know why he keeps spending so much money, and I don't know what to do about it. Well, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx is going to tell you what to do about it. Stop giving him your credit card. Stop giving him an allowance. Tell him no. Or if it's your daughter, tell her no. And no has to mean no. You must set boundaries. If you think that you're constantly going to pull back on those boundaries, then they are going to step all over you. That's what children do. They have you wrapped around their finger and they get whatever they want. And then you suffer the agony of it. I have seen so many of my clients spend their retirement funds, spend their savings, trying to make their children happy. And what does it do? It only puts a rift between you. It doesn't show any kind of happiness. It teaches exactly the opposite to your child. Then they can get anything they want by manipulation. That they don't have to work for what they want, because mom and dad will be there to provide it. That's not how this works. I've had clients, parents that are in their 50s and 60s, and their sons and daughters are in their 30s, middle 30s, living at home, totally happy, and saying to me, there is no reason for me to go anywhere. My parents will take care of me. That's absolutely a total disaster. And it's the parents' fault. It's 100% parents' fault. Set your boundaries and stick to them. Understand that your child has to go out into the big bad world and make it on their own. Your idea of overprotection is not working. You keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And unless you take the advice of the pushy broad from the Bronx and start thinking differently about this topic, you will be in this loop forever. Trust me when I tell you. I see people sometimes in their 80s and 90s living with their adult grown children, still mooching off of them. Let your child go. Let them take a shot at what the real world is all about.
We've all had a push moment, and the pushy broad from the Bronx wants to hear some of yours. If you'd like to share your most defining moments for her Everybody Needs a Little Push segment, or want to ask a question for her No or Yes segment, or maybe you want to share your 10 minutes of tears moment, you can email her at ellen@pushybroadfromthebronx.com. We love reading all of your comments, questions, and push moments. You can be a part of an amazing group of people and get more access to the Pushy Broad from the Bronx by becoming a part of her email list. If we air your question or comment on the Pushy Broad from the Bronx podcast, for privacy purposes, we will change your name to protect the innocent. Or the guilty. We don't know. We're not judging. If you aren't ready to share with her just yet, or if you want more Pushy Broad from the Bronx goodness, join her Facebook group. Follow her on Instagram and Twitter. Be sure to check out her website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com.
Do you want quick answers to things with no BS? Here's my segment, No or Yes.
When you need a quick answer, no BS. Ask the pushy broad and she'll say no or yes.
Parents come to me and say, how do I know that my child is holding me hostage? First, let's define the term. The term hostage means being involuntarily controlled by an outside influence. That's according to Webster's. This time, the no or yes answers are going to come from you. I want you to take this little quiz and ask yourself these questions. Number one, do you feel afraid of your adult child and his or her reaction to things? Do you feel as if his anxiety and his mood is going to influence the rest of the household? Do you feel as though you're walking on eggshells trying not to upset them? Has your adult child blamed you for the problems in their life? Does your adult child try to intimidate you and make you feel guilty if you try to set limits on giving them financial assistance? Does your adult child humiliate or ridicule you? Does your adult child try to separate you and your spouse by trying to divide and conquer? Are there times when your adult child makes inappropriate comments about your age or how you look? Do you find yourself limiting what you say in the presence of your adult child? Do you feel you need to make personal phone calls or have contact with friends when your adult child is not around for fear that he will hear what you have to say? Do you find that you have to tell your child white lies in order to not get him riled up? Has your adult child threatened you? Have you been struck by your adult child? Have you been restrained by your adult child? Have you ever considered calling 911 on your child, but hesitated, fearing the consequences for yourself? Has your adult child ever threatened to leave you or threatened to do something harmful to themselves if you didn't give them what they wanted? If you have said yes to any of these things, then you are being held hostage by your child. You need to talk to someone, a professional counselor, a family therapist, or a life coach like the Pushy Broad from the Bronx. You need to take a good look at this. Setting boundaries and having yourself understand what's really going on is the first step to begin to think differently about this very serious situation. Let's move on to our next segment, 10 Minutes of Tears.
When you're feeling sad and kind of blue, rather lost and not really in it, don't stay angry, lost, or confused. 10 Minutes of Tears is certainly for you. Please cry, but only for 10 minutes.
So many of my clients are parents. When they come to me and tell me that they're emotionally exhausted, depressed, and drained because their adult child is slowly taking away their happiness and draining them financially, they all tell me that they are sad, and they all tell me that they feel helpless and powerless. But most importantly, they tell me that they sometimes don't understand how their child has gotten this way. And if they do understand, then they begin to lament that they have not done a good job in raising them. So it becomes a vicious cycle of depression and exhaustion. This is a good 10 minutes of tears moment. First of all, remember that things do change. And maybe it's true that your son or your daughter did not understand or did not learn enough of the values you would have liked them to have learned before. But nobody is ever too old to start learning new things. Just because they didn't understand the value of money before doesn't mean that you can't teach them the value of money now. Maybe they didn't have the tools to properly take care of themselves before. But it doesn't mean that you can't teach them those tools now. So understand that you cannot cry over the past and what you did or did not do to make sure that they were ready for adulthood. So take the 10 minutes of tears, cry about it if you want, say, oh my goodness, I could have been a better parent, and then decide to do something about it. Decide to stand up and say that this time you're going to teach them by taking care of yourself. You know, when you go up on an airplane and the flight attendants tell you to put your oxygen mask on first before you put on your child's oxygen mask, it's because you need to take care of yourself. If you do not take proper care of yourself, you will not be able to pass that on to your child, and you will suffer for it. So if you're living in anxiety and depression because of the actions of your children, then you need to be a contributing factor in the other direction. You must take action to eliminate that depression and anxiety from your life. And the big ways to do that, set boundaries. Stick to them. Understand and live by the meaning of, no, I'm not going to go any further. Develop a contract with your child. Make sure that they understand what that contract means. And most importantly, it's time to put yourself first. Here's my last segment. I'm talking here.
I'm talking here.
I'm talking here. Listen. Learn. Pay attention. I'm talking here. Parenting cannot feel like it's a life sentence. You cannot feel like you've been taken hostage by your own child. This can be in the form of emotional hostage taking, financial, personal, physical, or spiritual hostage taking. This is a very difficult subject. You cannot confuse protecting your child and loving your child for overprotecting and smothering them with love. There is a huge difference. That overprotection or caretaking behavior is not helping your child. And it is up to the parents to make sure that you are enforcing certain rules for your adult child to live by in your home. I'd like to call your attention to an AARP article by Stacy Julian on the web, When Adult Kids Move Back Home. She lists 8 particular rules that we have talked about this hour and are worth repeating. Her rule number 1, your home is not a freeloading zone. Your adult child must pay a mutually agreed upon rent for room and board. This could be weekly, monthly, or however you see fit. You must get them into the habit of having responsibility so that they can be independent. It's good for their self-esteem. It allows them to see exactly what they are contributing. And most importantly, see what responsibility is like to pay bills, and that money does not grow on trees. Rule number 2, doing nothing is not an option. if your child is unemployed, a college graduate, or recently laid off, then you must delegate chores around the house, preferably the kind of chores that will save you money. Painting the house, cleaning the gutters, cutting the lawn, or helping you cross off a list of home renovations. And those things are all great options. Make them do something that you need done. Rule number 3. They should not expect a hot meal every night. And if they do expect it, then they should be cooking that meal at least a few nights a week, or paying a portion of the grocery bill. Rule number 4. Adult children must respect the space in which they live. Your home is not a fraternity or party central. Surely they will have people over, but you have to sit down with them and put a limit on the number of guests and the frequency of how often they visit. Rule number 5. Adult children have to leave all of their bad habits at the door. If you do not permit smoking or drinking in your home, then that rule must be enforced to your adult child, in addition to keeping a neat room and a neat bathroom. Rule number 6. You must set a deadline. Do not assume that your adult child will just leave when his time is right. You must establish a timeline to help your adult child reach independence. Rule number 7. You cannot be an ATM machine. You must put a limit as to the amount of money you give your child, and you must enforce strict rules to keep that limit. Rule number 8. You must have an exit plan in place. If your child does not agree to the rules or cannot live by them, you must ask your child to leave.
You also cannot confuse loving your child with living in fear of them. I need you to take a good hard look at the questions in our No or Yes segment. If you are feeling uneasy about the fact that your adult child is living at home, then I need you to understand that it is not okay that they are living there. Even though it is part of the norm today, it doesn't have to be your norm. Only if you are 100% happy with the circumstances of your adult child living at home and being a contributory member of your household should you not think that they are taking you hostage. Otherwise, it will disrupt the way you feel, the way you act towards your child, the way you act towards your partner or spouse, and the way you live your life. One cannot make sacrifices for their child. They can make compromises, but they cannot sacrifice themselves in the process. This does not help your child, and certainly does not give you the kind of life that you deserve to live. Be brave. Be bold. Have the courage to give your child adult real responsibility. Understand that they must fly without a net. Understand that they must make their own mistakes, just like you did when you were growing up. And you turned out okay. Trust that they will too. Take a very serious look at this and make some big changes in your life. Not only do you need to talk to a counselor or a life coach, but you must constantly encourage your adult child to do the same. You cannot walk this path alone. Adult children need lots of help. This failure to launch situation is a real one, not only in this country, but in the world. Take the steps today. You no longer have to live like this. The choice is yours. This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening, and remember, everybody needs a little push.
From the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, New York.
Here is disclaimer information that we are required to produce.
Professional coaches provide an ongoing partnership designed to help clients produce fulfilling results in their personal and professional lives. Coaches help people improve their performances and enhance the quality of their lives. Coaching services received from certified life coach Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are not offered as a substitute for professional mental health care or medical care, and are not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any mental health or medical conditions. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx is not acting as a mental health counselor or a medical professional. All comments and ideas offered by Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are solely for the purpose of aiding her audience in achieving their goals, and hopefully keep you smiling in the process.